Go ahead and find Joshua chapter number 1. We have tried to start preaching this series, and we hadn't got far, I'll be honest with you. We hadn't got past the introduction. We did get through the introduction, so we're down to the body of the message, and so I want to pick up there tonight. But Joshua chapter number 1, we're preaching on the subject, there's a new day dawning, and Canaan land is just in sight. And for the Israelites, they had been wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. And when Moses passed off the scene and went to be with the Lord, God rose up a new man. And as a matter of fact, he was Moses' minister, Joshua. And Joshua was ready to see a new day dawn. He was tired of wandering. He was tired of being in the same rut they had been in for 40 years. And so Joshua said, Canaan land is just inside. God's given me a word, and we're going to be marching out and heading out of this wilderness, and we're headed to the promised land. And so I want to preach on that subject and that thought because it applies to us as believers. So Joshua chapter number 1, verse 1. The Bible says, Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I don't know about you, but that's awful encouraging words from the Word of God. God is just over and over and over encouraging and strengthening and promising that there is a better land, that there is a provided land, a promised land that He has prepared for His people, and that they don't have to live in an average state. They don't have to live wandering in a wilderness, but that there is a new day dawning, and that Canaan land, the promised land, is just inside. And so I'm interested in that. How many of you this evening are interested in going to a better place in your Christian life? How many of you are tired of living where you've lived for a long, long time spiritually? Have you ever felt like you got in a rut? Come on now. I know better than that. I know I ain't the only one in the church that's ever felt like I was just spinning my tires and making no progress, no forward ground. I just felt like even sometimes I was going backwards. Surely that ain't just me. I mean, I know y'all a spiritual crowd, but I didn't know I was serving alongside of super saints. I mean, by the way, this is Joshua. This was Moses. They wasn't somebody to just wink at and gloss over. These were mighty men of God. And yet they too experienced this wandering. They too experienced these setbacks. And so if they did, surely The members at Morningstar Baptist Church has encountered this. And I'll say this from the start. You might as well go ahead and get honest and say, man, that's right, and that's me. Because you'll never get past where you are until you're willing to admit where you are. Even the world knows that. Even the world, have you ever heard them say a man with a drug problem will never get help until first he realizes he needs help? That's the truth. And as Christians, as long as we don't think there's a problem, as long as we think it's A-okay right where we're at, we'll never change. We got to get disgusted with where we are. We've got to have a deep desire within us to say, I'm no longer satisfied where I am. I don't want to be satisfied in Zion. I don't want to just be where I am and that be the lot of my life, and that I never make it to where God planned and promised me to be. There's a better life God has for every one of you and me, if we're willing to do what he said to get there. And so I say there's a new day dawning. And we are engaged. Listen, it ain't easy. It ain't going to be an easy journey. But the wilderness wasn't easy. Leaving Egypt wasn't easy. But I'll say this. Leaving Egypt and having to face the Red Sea, and then having God deliver them and split the Red Sea and let them walk over and destroy the enemies, as great as that was, listen, and then they get into the wilderness and have to wander and have all kind of problems there. That wasn't the easiest thing in the world, but I promise you, this journey and even going to fight the giants in the land of Canaan and going to climb the mountains and take the hills and go against all that the opposing force would come against them, I guarantee you it was easier in Canaan fighting the giants than it was living in captivity and bondage and slavery in Egypt. Amen. And so it's going to be hard either way you go, so we might as well just go ahead and say, I'm going to go with the best God has for me. Amen. And so we're engaged in warfare and spiritual, with a spiritual enemy who is far, far more powerful than we. He says, that's depressing. Well, get over it. That's the truth. If you hadn't figured this out yet, you are no match for the devil. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care what your spiritual stature is. You are no match for the devil. But good news on the backside of that, Ephesians 6:12. Well, before I give you the good news, Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In our own strength, we cannot defeat the enemy. Amen? The good news is our enemies are nowhere near as powerful as our God. We are on the winning side. He has said that we are more than conquerors, and that he has given us the victory. And that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. So, 1 John 4:4, because greater is he that is within you than he that's within the world. Thus, even in the midst of our battles, there is always hope for victory. Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In fact, the Bible tells us that we are the recipients of victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this verse, 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so while we're engaged in the battle with evil, there is the expectation that we can and will walk in victory in our lives. For me, this is what the book of Joshua is all about. How to obtain victory. How to get to the place where we're living in the victorious Christian life. The Spirit-filled Christian life. That's where we're headed. Canaan land is the Spirit-filled victorious Christian life. And that's where I want to get to. And that's where I want you to get to. That's where I want your family. That's where I want your marriage to thrive, in the spiritual victorious Christian life. Yeah, you want your marriage revived? I do. And you know how me and Jenny can have our marriage revived and go to new levels we've never experienced before? Is if we're walking in the Spirit and we are living in the victory that God has given us, and that we're sold out and we are under the full persuasion and power of the Holy Ghost of God, and He rules and reigns and guides and guards our life. And I promise you this, living there is levels we've never lived before. We've dipped into it and dipped out of it, but I ain't interested in dipping in and dipping out. I'm not interested in on and off, in and out, up and down. I'm interested in living there. That being my habitat, that being where I stay, that being a constant in my life, and that is possible. It's possible because it's promised by God.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. I want you young people, I want you teenagers, on our youth group, y'all listening? I want you to experience more than you've ever experienced. I want you to feel the power of when we face giants, that you don't see us tuck and run and see us get our tails beat and have to run for the hills, but I want you to see us as we face the giants, that we can overcome them by the power of God, so that that will put the gas in your tank and put the faith in your heart that you too can live there and overcome the giants. Amen. Amen. I'm not interested in going to Canaan land without my family. I believe in a household salvation, and I believe in a household spiritual state. I believe that listen, it's wrong for me to be spiritual and my wife and my children be unspiritual. I believe it's wrong, really wrong, for my wife to be spiritual and me to be not spiritual. We need some mamas and daddies and some husbands and some wives who will get this in her heart and who will say, by the grace of God, whatever it takes, I'm going to be a leader, and I'm going to carry my children, I'm going to carry my family to Canaan, to the promised land. If it kills me, I'm going. Because that's the kind of grit we're going to have to get down in our spot. If we're going to make it, it ain't going to come if we're willing to turn and tuck tail and run at the first sight of opposition. Because I'm telling you, before we start, opposition's waiting. And it ain't small people. We ain't going to fight midgets. We're going to fight giants. In other words, bigger battles than we've ever faced. Harder battles than we've ever faced. But I'm telling you, it's worth it, and God will deliver us. Amen. So this book is about the battles Israel faced in order to claim that promise from God. Joshua is a book about warfare, painful defeat, suffering, and great victories. It's a book that has much to teach the modern Christian about obtaining spiritual victory in our lives. It is a picture of the victorious Christian that is available to every child of God, to every church today. It is the picture of victory in the midst of struggle. Not in the absence of struggle, not in the absence of hardship, but in the midst of it. And my goal in preaching is to help you and our church to stop wandering in the wilderness and to enter into Canaan land, our spiritual victory. It's my desire to help our church move past the pain and the problems of the past and into the peace and the power of the Lord's rest. It's my prayer that the preaching of God's Word will witness the dawning of a brand new day in our lives as individuals, as families, and as a church. The first chapter serves as something of an introduction to the book. From these verses, I want to preach on the thought, Canaan land is just inside. As I do, I would like for you to listen carefully to what the Lord has to say to Joshua concerning the land of Canaan, about how to claim it. These verses will help us understand what it takes to go from wandering around in a wilderness of defeat to living in the land of victory. And so there's some truths here that we need to understand today as we look at the thought, Canaan land is just in sight. We'll look at three. We won't get to three tonight, but I want to give you the three that we're going to be looking at. Every Christian can make it to Canaan by understanding these truths we're going to look at. Number one, we're going to look at God's demand, God's command. God made a command. And we're going to look at that tonight. Then number two, we're going to look at Joshua's challenge. Anytime God makes a command, there will be a challenge. There will be an opposing force to that. The devil will see to it. He always opposes God. Our flesh always opposes God. The world always opposes God. And we know those three are our enemies. And so we'll look at God's command and Joshua's challenge. Then thirdly, we'll look at Israel's commitment. And I'll say this without hesitation. If we are going to make it to Canaan, it's going to take commitment. Because it ain't going to be an easy journey. They are going to be major battles you and I will have to fight and major giants we'll have to face. And we can't afford to get halfway there and see something bigger than we face and say, this ain't for me, and run back to the wilderness. You're going to have to be determined. You're going to have to be so determined and committed that I'm going to make it if it kills me. So let's begin, number one, with God's command. Verses 1 through 9 deals with this. And as we look at God's command, first of all, a call to claim the land. Verses 1 through 4, let's look at a call to claim the land. The Bible said, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, and the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. And so as we read these verses, we're considering a call to claim the land. If we're going to make it, listen, if we're going to make it to Canaan, we got to claim it. Before you turn me off and say, oh, he's done went crazy. He's done been watching too many of them Pentecostal TV shows where they name it and claim it, blab it and grab it and all that stuff. No, I ain't saying that. We ain't gonna point a finger at God and say, bless God, you're going to do what I say. No, God don't do what we say. We do what He says. He's God and we the servant. He's the potter and we're the clay. We don't command God around. I'm preaching on the command of God. But I am saying to us, if we're going to make it there, we're going to have to claim the fact that God's given us this land, and so since He gave it to us, it's ours to claim.
That's right.
We can't be wishy-washy and wonder if that's our land or not. No, we got to claim the fact that is our land. Let me ask you this tonight. If I had 10 acres of land and I come to you tonight and I said, okay, JD, I'm going to give you 10 acres of land. It's down the road. Go down about 10 miles, take a left, and there it is. And I give you the address. It's yours. Go get it. You'd be a fool to think I was joking. You'd be a fool to think I was playing a dirty trick on you. You'd be a fool not to go down there and get it.
Yeah.
And claim it. Because if you didn't, if you never showed any interest, if you never showed any desire to go get it, I'd give it to somebody else. I wouldn't let it sit there and waste. But do you know God gave us this land? He promised it to us. He provided it for us. And He's protecting us on the way.
Amen.
He said, no man shall be able to stand against you. I'm going to fight your battles. I'm going to take care of the giants. I'm going to see to it you get there if you will go.
Amen.
And I'm simply saying you'd be a fool not to go claim that land.
Amen.
But way less of a fool than we are not to claim the victorious Canaan land God has given us. Because I promise you, getting to Canaan land is worth way more than 10 acres of land. Matter of fact, it's worth way more than 1,000 acres. Because if we can get to Canaan, we will live a life and we'll experience His parts and sides of God we've never seen before. God will put power and favor on us we've never experienced before. And I'm telling you, we will know what it is to live in victory, true victory.
Amen.
And that's worth more than land and houses and cars and bank accounts. And so, Joshua was reminded that the Lord has already given the land of Canaan to the children of Israel. Moses, the man of God's dead, but the work of God goes on. Never think for a minute that God can't make it without you. Hear that. God don't need me. God don't need you. I've met many Christians along my journey in pastoring who felt like they was God's gift to the planet and surely God's gift to the church. And that if they wasn't there, it would fold in a hurry. And I'm here to tell you, God can remove me tomorrow. Brother Jackie, God could take you out of here tomorrow and the church will move on. Because the fact is, God don't need us. But the lovely thing is, the wonderful truth is, He wants us. And He allows us to be part of His plan. And boy, that's a blessing. But we can't get that backwards and think that God needs us. He don't need you. God don't. He can do anything He wants without you.
Amen.
Never think for a minute that God can't make it without you. Joshua was commanded to lead the people into Canaan to claim the land that they had been promised by the Lord. The land was given to them back in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, when God promised it to Abraham. And the promises were reaffirmed to every succeeding generation of the nation of Israel. The land was indeed their land. There was no need for them to continue wandering around in the wilderness. They had a land. They had a place God promised and provided. All they had to do to get it was claim it. By faith, claim it. And point their toes in that direction and start moving. I look around me and I see Christians who are defeated, down, distraught, and struggle with sin, and who, for all intent and purposes, are wandering around in a spiritual wilderness of their own.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. You don't have to look far, even in our church.
Right.
And to be honest with you, and I'm being honest with you, the most of us are still in the wilderness. Can I get anybody to raise their hand tonight and say that you've made it to Canaan land and you're currently living there? Anybody? I know my hands ain't going up. But every hand in here should go up on this. I want to and I'm headed that way. But with so many struggling and by our own testimony, no hands went up. We're all still in the wilderness. Can I say it don't have to be that way?
Amen.
God never intended it to be that way. God has a place of victory. He has a promise. He has promised us that we can live in that place of peace and blessing. Listen to this verse, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all my heart that God did not save you for you to live defeated. He did not. I can prove that. God didn't, not only to be defeated, God didn't save you to just live. God didn't save you just to exist. God didn't save you just to have an average life. You know how I can prove that? Jesus said, I come to give you life and that more abundant. He wants you to have abundant life. And that's what Canaan land is a picture and type of. It wasn't just grapes. It was huge grapes. It wasn't just water flowing. It was a place flowing with milk and honey.
Yeah.
Abundant. Above and beyond. That's where God wants you. That's what God wants you living in. The best of the best.
Amen.
Most of the time we are defeated because we refuse to walk in victory. I believe there is a place of conquest for every child of God today that we can claim for our own. And these next few verses tell us what we need to remember as we set out to claim our Canaan. Listen, by the way, the land God gave Israel, I want you to listen to this. This blew my mind when I was studying and saw these numbers. Listen to this. God gave Israel about 300,000 square miles. 300,000. If you look, he said, from the Euphrates River to way over here to the Hittites to the going down of the sun, those parameters God gave, 300,000 square miles. Now listen to this. You know how much of that 300,000 they claimed? They only claimed 30,000 miles. They had 300,000. Even when they got to Canaan, 300,000 square miles. And they claimed 30,000 of it. A tenth. And this is the bigger point. They were not limited to the 300,000. Because God said, anywhere the sole of your foot touches, that's yours. So God said, as far as you, your faith will let you walk, you can have it. As far as you'll go that way, it's yours. As far as your faith will take you that way, it's yours. So that, really, the sky was the limit. And the sky's the limit to how high you can go. I mean, listen, there's not no telling where you can go with faith in God. If you'll place your faith in God and head that way, there's no telling where all God will take you and what all God will do with you. I promise you this. No wonder the Bible said He'll do exceeding abundantly above that you can ask or think. No wonder He said, call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I mean, beyond your wildest imagination. He'll do more. He'll give more. He'll take more. They were given as much as they were willing to claim. The extent of their victory was only limited by their faith. Hear that. Hear that statement. The extent of their victory was only limited by their faith. That is still true. You can have as much as you want. It's like God throwed out a massive buffet bar and said, eat what you want, and we're over there nibbling on salad. And they prime rib and ribeye steak and lobster and shrimp and crab legs and, oh goodness, let's close right now. I'll go eat. No, I'm just kidding. I'm simply saying, why eat around the edges? Why live on rabbit food? Why live with the bare minimum when God said, I've got more than you can contain. I'll give you more than you ever dreamed of. If you'll just put faith in me and come toward me, I have more than you can hold. I think we have no idea what God would do with, in, by, and through us if we would simply put our faith in Him and say, Lord, whatever, however, wherever, whenever, and whatever, take me, point me, and I'll go. There's no telling who we could become if we would, by faith, believe God. No telling all we could do if we would just simply claim it. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. 1 John 5:14-15, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us, and if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. God's saying, if you'll ask me, I'll give it to you. If you'll ask me according to my will, and we know Canaan is His will. If we'll ask, God, I want to be a better Christian, God will grant you that. If you'll say, God, give me the faith that I need to go higher. Give me the faith that I need to face the giants. God will give you that. Give me the strength. Give me the stamina to make it till we get there. God will give you that. Give me the desire to read my Bible. Give me the desire to pray. Give me the desire to be a witness. Give me the desire to be a servant. God will give you that. But you've got to ask Him. When's the last time you asked God for those things? I mean, seriously. laid claim to your Canaan. So we see it was a call to claim the land, but then it was a call to confidence in the Lord. Not only do we got to claim the land, but we got to have confidence in the Lord. Joshua is reminded of some very precious promises in these verses. Notice what God promised him. Verse 5, he promised the promise of victory over the enemy. Verse 5 again, the promise of the presence and the power of God. Verse 5 again, the promise of the faithfulness of God. Those ain't small promises. I mean, when God promises victory over the enemy, that's worth taking note of. That's worth raising a hand saying, thank you, Lord. No longer I have to worry about my enemy overcoming me and overtaking me. You've promised me victory over my enemy. No, listen, it's not a small thing that God promised His presence and His power in your life. It's no small thing that God said, I will be faithful to you. It's no small thing that God promised absolute victory. You don't have to wonder and worry if you're going to win. You will. And that God keeps His promises. What did Joshua have to do to make these things happen? And that's where the leather, that's where it gets down to shoe leather. What did Joshua have to do in order to gain these promises? That's God said, this is what I will do. Now this is what you need to do. This just one thing. Just one thing you need to do to get these promises from God. God said, trust me. Put your faith in me. I mean, confidently put your faith and trust in God. That's all He wants. God said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. God was going to give Israel the victory. Joshua was merely the instrument that God had chosen to use to do it. These things were going to happen. For Joshua to be part of it, all he had to do was have faith in God. May I remind you that the same promises God made to Joshua are still valid for us today. You still can count on the Lord to do everything He promised Joshua. He's promised you. He said these things are done for ensamples, for our learning. It was a school for us. It was a way of learning. What He promised Joshua, He's promising you today. And if He'd done it for Joshua, He will do it for you. He still gives victory over our enemies. It wasn't just for Joshua. It wasn't just for the children of Israel. It's for you. It's for this church. It's for your family. Listen to these verses. 1 John 5, 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even what? Our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? God wants you to trust Him. God wants you to put your faith in Him. Hebrews, not only He still gives victory over enemies, but He is still ever present and all powerful. Hebrews 13:5, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. He's still faithful. Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He still gives absolute victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 21:4 and 7. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And there shall in no wise enter into the anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. I'm simply saying He still gives absolute victory. He's going to give it here on our way to Canaan. He's going to give it when we get to Canaan, and He's going to give it when we get to heaven. Absolute victory. He still keeps His promises. Romans 4:21, and being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able to perform it. What do we have to do to see these things come to pass in our lives? One thing. By faith, trust God.
Amen.
It's that simple. You say, is it that? It's that simple. We'll have no fear of walking toward Canaan if we have our full confidence and faith in the Lord and we trust Him. See, we say we trust Him, and we say we have faith in Him, and then we start walking toward Canaan and say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Preachers have been preaching on a new day dawning, and Canaan land's just in sight, and I've made up my mind. I'm going to start reading my Bible and praying, and me and my family, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and we are striking out toward Canaan. And we get right up the road, and first obstacle comes, the first opposition comes, see the first giant off in the distance. And we say, oh, I didn't know it was going to be all this. Good gracious alive.
Yeah.
Lord must have forgot about that giant. I mean, He said He was going to take care of all this stuff, and there He is. So we got to go back, and we stop. You know what that is? You know what? Just reduced down to the very plain truth. That is us not trusting God. That is us taking our faith off of God and putting it back in us. Because it don't matter how big the giant is, if we had faith in God, if we trusted God, we would trust that God could take care of that giant as He promised. And it would not detour us, and it would not make us backtrack. We'd still be on our way.
That's right.
I said, opposition's coming, hardship's coming. It ain't going to be easy to get there, but we got to make up our mind. We're going to keep the faith, and we're going to trust God to get us there. When we can learn to place our faith in God at all times in every situation, and then we will walk in victory in our lives. When everything else fails, faith will stand the test of time. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's what we hope for. It's the substance of what we want. We want that. And faith is the evidence of things that we can't see. I can't see Canaan, but God's given me evidence in His Word. If I'll put faith in Him, it's there for the taking. But we won't get there without faith. How we get faith? Oh, we're getting to that. How we get faith? How do I increase my faith? Jesus said to some, "Oh, ye of little faith." He said about others, "I ain't seen such faith. I ain't seen so great faith." So there's different levels of faith. How do we get and how do we gain faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we read the Scripture, the text verses, didn't it say over and over, don't depart from my law, meditate on my law, keep your mind and your meditations on my Word. Why? So it would secure and strengthen and increase our faith.
That's right.
Amen. So, we will fail the Lord, but He will never fail us who have our faith in Him. And so, this far we've looked at a call to claim the land, a call to have confidence in the Lord, and then, number three, a call to carry out the law. It goes right in what I was just saying. Listen to these verses 7 and 8. "And only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law." What's the law? Everybody look. "Which Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right nor a hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success." This is the bottom line. Listen to me. You ain't going to make it to Canaan without this book. I mean, without a love relationship with this book, a dedicated daily diet of the Word of God, you ain't going to make it. You ain't going to make it. He said, you better get this settled or you ain't going to make it. You better learn to meditate on my word. You better learn to not deviate from the right or the left. You better have this in front of you the whole way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And if we're going to know how to be able to learn and see and navigate how to get to Canaan, this is going to be the light that will get us there. Amen. The Lord tells Joshua that if he is to lead the people of God to rest in Canaan, then he must take heed to the law of God. Remembering the law is an essential step to entering our Canaan as well. Notice what the Lord said to Joshua about the law and how this applies to our lives today. Listen, number one, he was to keep the law. Verse 7, he said he must keep the law. He was to do everything the law said to do. Not turning this way or that way, but to keep all the law. You say, well, I can't keep all the Bible. I can't keep up with all. I can't keep up with it all, much less keep it all. Well, you just hit on something. It's hard to keep it all if you can't keep up with it all.
Yeah.
And I'm not being mean. And I ain't being judgmental, but I want everybody's undivided attention for a minute. It's amazing what we can retain in the world. I guarantee you, ask some of these kids to give you some sports statistics and how many points LeBron James scored and how many this and how many that. And if it's something they're interested in or their favorite TikTok or their favorite fill in the blank, their favorite thing, show they've been watching. They could tell you what's going on. They could tell you the plot, the characters, how long they've been on it. They could tell you, a laundry list of everything about it. They could tell you every player. I guarantee you, Samuel, you could tell me everybody on your favorite baseball team. You just know it. And it ain't just you, it's every kid. What they love, they know. They consume themselves with it. So I think it's a cop-out that we as believers say, well, this is just too much. The Bible's just too big and too broad, and I can't comprehend it all. Well, the truth is, if we wanted to know it, we could learn it. We could read it. We could dive in it and dissect it and learn. And you ain't going to get it all in a day, but you ought to start today trying to get a deeper knowledge and understanding of the Word of God, because we ain't going to be able to keep up with it all until we learn to keep it. Amen. You say, why do you keep preaching so much about reading the Bible? Because right out of the Bible, God said, if you're going to make it there, you're going to have to keep my law. And it ain't talking about keeping it on a shelf or in your car or leaving it on the pew at church. It's talking about keeping it in your heart, in your mouth, and in your mind. And it does take effort. It does take work. It does take time. But it's worth it. If you want to make it to Canaan, it's absolutely necessary. Not only was he to keep the law, but he was to meditate on the law. Day and night, his mind was to be occupied with the law, with the Word of God. He was to love it and let it fill his heart and mind. This was in order that his life might be centered in the law and therein in the will of God. I've had people so many times say, I just need to know the will of God for my life. I'm just searching for the will of God in my life. And it's so hard, I just can't find the will of God for my life. I'm struggling to find the will of God. I say, well, I can help you with that. Because the will of God ain't hard to find. I don't know where that got concocted a long time ago, this mysterious will of God thing. You'll know the will of God? Read the Word of God. God's Word will lead you right into the will of God every single time. Now, if you want to go by your feelings and how you feel and what you felt like after eating a bunch of food late last night and had dreams and crazy nightmares and said, oh, I believe God spoke to me tonight and give me a vision. No, you just ate too many collard greens before you went to bed. God don't operate through visions and dreams and all that stuff no more. You know what God operates through? You know how you want to get into God's will? A direct, 100% guaranteed fact how to get in God's will every time? Get it through His Word. His Word is the step path. It's the driveway that walks you right into His will every single time. Amen. It'll never detour you. Amen. Then he was to prosper by honoring God's word. God's promise to Joshua was that if he lived his life around the law of God, God would prosper him. And everything that he did, and God would make him very successful. Who in here don't want to prosper and be very successful? That's what Canaan land's all about. Don't you want that? Ain't you tired of living a mediocre life and just barely making it? Don't you want to be successful and prosperous? Absolutely. How do you do that? You do that by loving and living and reading and meditating on the Word of God. Amen. There's a lesson in this for us today. I thank the Lord that we are not under the law, and so should you. I praise Him that we are under grace and not the law. And you better. If you think it's hard being a Christian now, you wouldn't have made it under the law, and neither would I. Most of us have been done got stoned. We can't fathom how good we've got it under grace. Amen. Having said that, I would like to say that many in our day have concluded that since we're no longer under the law, that they are free to live and do anything they please. Now stay with me for a minute. I want to remind you that such an attitude is dangerous and guaranteed to bring you to ruin. If you have the mentality, well, I'm saved and I'm living under grace, so I can live however I want to, first of all, I question whether you're even saved. Grace made me grateful for grace. Grace didn't give me a license to go sin. Grace gave me a love for the Savior who saved me and gave me such grace. Amen. It made me want to live for Him and love Him and serve Him, not live loose and find every loophole I could find. Some people say, well, the Bible just don't say that you can't drink a beer. I'm not going to preach on that tonight, but I'll say this. If you're looking for loopholes to find you a Budweiser, that says more about your spiritual condition than it does mine.
That's right.
Don't look for loopholes to get around God's word to get to sin.
Amen.
Look for the straight and narrow, the dogmatic, bold lines that God has placed in His word and live in them. Don't look for ways out.
Amen.
You say, why would you say that? I know a preacher in Spartanburg. You used to never hear this, but there's a preacher in Spartanburg. Matter of fact, there's more than one. There's one well-known preacher who meets his congregation at the bar and drinks with them every week. Says, it ain't wrong to drink a beer. I wish I could take him and let him see what alcohol did to my family.
Yeah.
I wish he could look in my mind and see the nightmares. Of blood on the floor.
That's right.
and a broken home.
Yeah.
Wine is a mocker. And it's a thief, and it will rob you.
Amen.
Don't look for loopholes to get to loose living.
Amen.
Look for Canaan land and the promises of God. I promise you that'll satisfy you way more than a loophole you found. Yeah. If you want to live in Christian victory today, you must develop a love for the Word of God, simply put. Just as Joshua was commanded to honor the law, we are commanded to honor the Word of God. I'm closing, but by way of application, how many of you, and I'm talking about in your family, not personally, but in your family, how many of you open the Word of God as a family together? A husband, a wife, and a child, and reads it on a daily basis. You know why it's so quiet? Because there's so few that do that. And that screams so loud about how much we think about the importance of this book. Because if we thought like God thought about it, and God said over and over, we better not deviate from this book. We better love this book and meditate on this book. If we had the confidence in this book that God does, we would put it at the top of our list that we'd make sure our family was getting exposed to the Word of God. I guarantee you, us as parents, if we saw our children go 3 or 4 days without eating food, we'd think, they're sick. There's something wrong. And we would almost force food in their mouth. And we would go to the doctors and find out what is wrong. Why ain't they eating? But it never crosses our mind. And we give it no thought whatsoever when we never see our children reading their Bible. And we hardly ever see our spouses reading their Bible. And I'm saying it's high time we bring family altar with the Word of God at the forefront back to our homes so we can make it to Canaan.
Amen.
That's convicting to me because I used to do that with my family and I have failed having family altar. Are you listening? Now, I just got up in front of God, y'all, and everybody and told you I failed at it, so you could admit you failed at it, and we can all change and start. It won't kill you. And matter of fact, I promise you, it'll be some of the greatest memories and treasures of your life, the time you spent with your family around the Word of God. Amen. We are to feed on the Bible. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Job 23:12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. We're to live by the Bible. Psalm 119:11, that thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Psalm 119:97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all day. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We will be blessed when these things are true in our lives. I'm gonna stop right there, but let me give you this last verse and then we'll stop. We'll be blessed when these things are true in our life. Listen to these verses. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I'm simply saying over and over and over, all the way back to Joshua in the book of Psalms and all throughout the Word of God, God connects reading the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, putting it in our heart, and he connects that almost every time with success and prosperity. Do you think that's a coincidence? No, it's not. Without this, there is no Canaan land. With this, it's almost guaranteed we'll make it to Canaan land. So my invitation to you tonight, if you didn't get nothing out of the message, this is what I want us all to go home with. I want to challenge you. In closing, I want to challenge every person, every young person, every married couple, every mom and daddy, every husband and wife, would you commit to God to try it for 1 month? It only took them 11 days. Would you give God a month of saying, I'm going to start with my family tomorrow or even tonight? It ain't got to be 2 hours. Sit down with your family, have a word of prayer, and read a chapter of God's Word.
Right.
And do that every day. Make a point to do it every day. Would you try that? Do you care enough about getting you and your family to Canaan, to victorious Christian living, to try what God said absolutely works? Something has to change if we're going to experience change. And the first change, and this is the message in a nutshell, we must change what we're doing at the house with the Word of God, with our family. How many people, I'm done, right? last statement. How many people thinks that's too much to ask? That ain't too much to ask. He said, but I just don't believe it'll work. Then why did God say it would work over and over and over and over and over and over and over?
Amen.
It will work. Amen. It will work. So I plead with you. Make a vow to your family, husband, wife, children, and make a vow to God. Lord, if you'll help us, starting tonight, starting tomorrow, we're going to get around your word as a family, and we're going to read it, and we're going to have a word of prayer. Amen. And we're going to do that every day by the grace of God, if you'll help us. Would you commit to God to do that?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for our church, God. Thank you for the promise you've given us, Lord, that Canaan is just in sight. Lord, that there is a new day dawning. I want to experience real revival. Lord, I want our church to experience true, victorious Christian living, Spirit-filled Christian living. And God, I pray you'd help us to take this first small step that'll be so explosive in our lives. Help us to make a vow, a promise to you. And help us to follow through with it and be determined. God will do it no matter what. And watch how you change our lives and bring us so much closer to Canaan just by doing this one little thing. God, help us to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you. Shake hands. You at least. our vacation.